Hello, it's Matt, and this is a proud podcast. Most people like a good story. So is a book just a book? In this podcast episode, I want to explore a lady born in St. Petersburg, Russia, on February 2nd, 1905. Now, the information I found about her comes from various sources. So this is what I found out about her. Apparently, at the age of 6, she taught herself to read. At the age of 9, she decided what her career was going to be. In 1917, she was eyewitness to the Bolshevik Revolution, which she denounced from the outset. In order to escape the fighting, her family went to Crimea, where she finished high school. The final communist victory brought the confiscation of her father's pharmacy and periods of near starvation. When introduced to American history in her last year of high school, she took America as her model of what a nation could be. When her family returned from Crimea, she entered the University of Petrograd to study philosophy and history. After graduating in 1924, she experienced the disintegration of free inquiry and the takeover of the university by communists. Amidst the increasingly grey life, her one great pleasure was Western films and plays. Long an admirer of cinema, she entered the State Institute for Cinema Arts in 1924 to study screenwriting. Leaving the Soviet Union. In late 1925, she obtained permission to leave Soviet Russia for a visit to relatives in the United States. Although she told Soviet authorities that her visit would be short, she was determined never to return to Russia. She arrived in New York City in February 1926. She spent the next 6 months with her relatives in Chicago, obtained an extension to her visa, and then left for Hollywood to pursue a career as a screenwriter. Apparently, on her second day in Hollywood, Cecil B. DeMille saw her standing at the gate of his studio and offered her a ride to the set of his movie, which was at the time The King of Kings. He gave her a job, first as an extra, then as a script reader. During the next week at the studio, she met an actor, Frank O'Connor, whom she married in 1929. They were married until his death 50 years later. After struggling for several years at various non-writing jobs, including one in the wardrobe department at the RKO Radio Pictures, she sold her first screenplay, Red Pawn, to Universal Pictures in 1932. Around the same time, she saw her first stage play, Night of January 16th, produced in Hollywood and then on Broadway. She went on to write a best-selling book that became a Hollywood movie in 1948. That in itself would be an amazing story, but for me, that is where her work actually starts. If I told you her name, it might give away the book. In 1946, she started her major novel. It was finished and published in 1957. Over 10 years to write a novel. A while ago, the average book was selling about 250 copies a year, and maybe even a few thousand in its lifetime. Now, I think with the ability to self-publish and so many books being published now, I'd imagine those averages are probably a lot lower now. But this particular book that I'm talking about, this novel, has sold over 7 million copies. So why is this novel one of my favourite books? Now, to be very open with you, I'm not a particularly good book reader, even though I realise that most successful people read books. I don't find it particularly easy to read, but once I started this particular novel, I couldn't put it down. Initially, I avoided it because it was 1,166 pages. Yes, 1,166 pages, that is the equivalent of 3 books in one go. It starts with this question. Who is John Galt? and then goes on to explore these questions. When he says that he will stop the motor of the world, is he a destroyer or a liberator? Why does he have to fight his battles not against his enemies, but against those who need him most? Why does he fight his hardest battle against the woman he loves? And in the book, you will discover why a productive genius seems to become a worthless playboy. So why is a great steel industrialist working for his own destruction? Why does a composer give up his career on the night of his greatest triumph? And why does a woman who runs a transcontinental railroad fall in love with the man she has sworn to kill? So this novel was written around 60 years ago, but yet it seems to have more relevance today about society, work, the media, politics, and people than ever before. So what if the so-called producers in society that actually create value, financial wealth, and employment through business, the people that make things happen with creation and innovation, what if they suddenly decided to go on strike and disappear? What would happen to society where the majority feel they are owed something without effort in return? So to finish with, I will give you this warning. If you like your current attitude to society and the world, then it's probably best to avoid this book. Some characters you will resonate with, and others will definitely frustrate you. So we are living in very strange times at the moment, where business and work and life is really being turned upside down. So can a work of fiction change people's lives? Now, I think you probably know the answer to that. I am sure that you will have read books that will have had an effect on you. So who was the controversial author that wrote this book? Her name? Ayn Rand. The book I'm talking about? Atlas Shrugged. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode with me, Matthew Broomhead. If you have enjoyed this episode, then feel free to pass this on to those that you care about by sharing it on whatever platform you're using to listen to this. You can find out more about me and read some of my blog at www.matthewbroomhead.co.uk. I wish you all the success you are prepared to work for, and I'll see you on the next podcast. Take care and stay safe.